The county's number one talk show, the 9 till noon show on Highland Radio.
Welcome back. It's Michaela Clark in this morning for Greg Hughes. I want to give you a final reminder of our draw today. So we're giving you the chance to win two tickets to the Big Highland Summer Bingo Party on Sunday the 2nd of August in Jackson's Hotel Bally Buffet. Join host Keith Fletcher and Lee Gooch with Marty Freel on the decks for a night of wild bingo, tropical vibes, big party tunes, daft games and big cash prizes all in the heart of Bally Buffet with our top prize of €1,000 up for grabs. So we've been giving away tickets every day this week throughout the different shows, and we have two tickets to give away on the 9 till noon show today, and then later before 12, the winner from each day will be entered into a draw to win an overnight stay with B&B in Jackson's Hotel on the night. So to be in with a chance of winning, answer this question. What's the bingo call for number 22? Is it A, two little ducks, or B, quack a pack? You can text or WhatsApp your answer, name and address to 086 60 25,000. Now, we're joined in studio by Shannon Wilkin from our team, who has been looking at some of the big social media stories of the week. Good morning, Shannon. I'm good. If I turn up your right mic.
I need to get closer.
No, you're grand. You're grand. It's my fault. So what have you been looking at this week? We always have loads of conversations about what's doing the rounds on socials.
So I've been looking at Anna Olivia Hines' upcoming wedding this week. So we're seeing the countdown every day. She has 10 days, whatever. But some people, there's been a theory that the wedding has actually already happened.
Right.
So someone got a clip from her podcast with Jerry Labs.
Oh,
and
I
she
love
said,
that podcast.
Yeah, they're all good crack. Like,
yeah,
they're
they
really
are.
Easy to listen to. But apparently she said that she would do short dresses, and Emma Kearney, known as Baby Emzo on TikTok, was pictured at a wedding in a short dress recently.
Oh.
So that was them trying to piece it all together. But funny enough, Rory actually commented, and I don't know, we'll just have to see. Are they playing it close to their chest?
Yeah, and I suppose, do you remember there was that thing about people were calling to her house? People knew where she lives, so maybe they're just trying to keep it a secret because of that. You know, they don't want random strangers turning up to their house.
But even her videos recently for an Irish creator, like, she's on so many views. I think she averages around 400,000. Like, that's crazy.
It's
for
mad.
Someone from Armagh. Do you know?
What's wrong with that, Shannon?
Nothing wrong with them, but you know yourself, she's no A-lister.
So what else have you been looking at this week?
So we are always talking about food and stuff that we've seen. So we touched on the viral strawberries and cream mm-hmm. sandwich last week.
Have you had a chance to try it yet?
I went looking for it. No joy as of yet, but I definitely will be keeping my eyes peeled. But I did spot the M&S viral dips. So mm-hmm. you actually, we both came in actually on the same day, and she was like, oh my God, I found the dip. And I was like, so did I. So what did you think
yeah,
of it?
Yeah, so I went for the, it's like cream cheese, hot smoked salmon and capers. I think there's a bit of dill in it as well. Absolutely beautiful. I did have this last year. Yeah, I loved it. And we were having the conversation. This will probably only last 2 days, but I did get about four maybe out of it. But it is highly calorific. That's why we were having the discussion. How far can we divide it down? But yeah, I would highly recommend. But you tried a few different ones.
So I tried the Indian one. So it has chickpeas. It has a bit of mango. There's a wee bit of spice to it. I don't know if I'm just being fussy, but I wouldn't buy it again.
Right.
Like, I'm sorry.
Did you try the salmon one? We were having the conversation. We have that many conversations. We do actually do work. But we were talking about the salmon earlier in the week, and you weren't really a fan of smoked salmon, but it's actual proper cooked salmon, just hot smoked, if
yeah.
that makes sense.
I didn't spot the salmon dip, but I actually got the buffalo chicken one as well and the Mexican dip, but I didn't get to try them because they actually went out of date, but that's
oh, no.
my own fault. Yeah. And then have you seen the Big Daddy chocolate bar?
Yes, I have yeah. seen that. Actually, now that you mention it, we got sweet goodies from M&S during the week as well. I can't remember what you call them now. They're like coconut tea cakes. I'm
Ooh.
Probably explaining it wrong. But it's like the marshmallow or the mallow inside, chocolate covered and sprinkled with coconut. Would highly recommend as well. But we also got, apparently these are viral. That was my husband told me. I don't know how he knows this. The custard creams that they have. They're chocolate covered custard creams. Have you seen them? Yeah, they are nice. Quite heavy. But I was expecting a bit more as well. But yeah, they're nice enough.
They're nice.
But I've seen them bars are massive.
They're like a treat. But even I made my own Dubai chocolate I just couldn't find it anywhere in the shops. And I don't know. Don't get me wrong. The Big Daddy was nice. But it's £10.50 for a bar of chocolate. You know.
And would you eat it one go?
Too much? You'd have to share it out. And again, I think it's very calorific.
Yeah, everything nice is, isn't it?
Yeah.
Is there any low calorie options there, Shannon?
I don't know, to be honest. Maybe if you took out the nuts, because the nuts, they are good for you, obviously, but they're very calorific.
Yeah, yeah. You did mention earlier about a different trend going around relating to food. Not too sure about this.
So I actually forgot to bring it in with me, but I have the ingredients. So there's one called Farmers or Miners Coke. Basically, it's for anyone from the south of America. Whenever they were out working in the mines or in the farms, they didn't have two hands to hold their drink and their peanuts at the same time. So they dumped them into the drink. And apparently it creates this lovely, sweet, salty thing. And the truckers still drink it to this day. So I did bring it in to try it, but I don't think I can get it. So maybe next week.
Yeah, I don't know how I feel about that, but it's like Coke floats. I don't know how I feel. And I always think, like the Miner's Coke, how do people come to establish that this is a good combination?
I think
that one's different because that was practicality for them, I suppose.
Sweet and salty, either you're into it or you're not. I mean, you heard Greg even last week on the V&M podcast. They were talking about, was it putting pepper into your salt and vinegar crisps, and then another one was your chips and your ice cream, and then a Meanie's sandwich.
What's a Meanie's sandwich?
You know the crisps, the Meanie's, they're pickled onion flavours.
Oh, right, okay.
Yeah, I don't know.
No, I don't know either.
Whatever floats your boat, though, I mean.
Not chips and ice cream, no. I love ice cream and chips, but they would be actually my death row meal. Any form of chip. Like, okay. They could be burnt, they could be the most horrible chips, but I love chips and ice cream as well. But not together, no. So what else has been grabbing your attention?
So I saw it doing the rounds on TikTok first, the Netflix documentary about the train wreck poop cruise. Have you been following that?
No, but it did pop up when I was on Netflix yesterday.
Yeah. So I don't know, you know the way Americans tend to over-dramatise things a wee bit? I think the main story about them having to poo in the red bags was kind of given away, so that was a big spoiler.
So what is it? There's no toilets on the train?
So, first of all, something went fire in the engine room, and they were like, it's grand, we have four other engines to back us up, we'll get away with it. Turns out, the whole ship shut down. So they had no electricity at all then. It turns out the water was powered by electricity, so they couldn't flush the toilets. They were suggested to pee in the showers and it would drain naturally. But then it actually stopped draining away, so it was overflowing. Then a tugboat came to their rescue eventually. I think this was 4 days in. And obviously with the tugboat, they were at an angle. So all the sewage started seeping out through the walls and ended up in the carpets. People were trudging through it.
Oh, no. Did you say, sorry, this is a true story?
It's a true story. So I think it happened in 2015. And I remember there was a CNN journalist on and they had a new editor and they were trying to get the ratings up. And they were like, is this story, you know, too out there, too soft? But it was viral all over America, and they actually did wall-to-wall coverage of it. People were like ringing in with what their families had said because there was no internet or phone service either. It was just crazy.
Yeah, no, it doesn't. I don't know. I might give that one a miss. But speaking of Netflix, I know this is months and months ago, but I just can't get into it. Did you watch the recent season of You?
You, I'm sorry. My attention span is
terrible. Yeah, I can't get into this season.
I think I maybe did 2 seasons and I was like, okay, this is just too much murder and can't get over it. But my mum watched it and she enjoyed it.
Yeah. So. Cause it's kind of nearly become my background watch now.
Yeah.
But there's so much to keep up with it that you're lost in it. And my OCD won't let me just not watch the end. I have to complete it, if you know what I mean.
Yeah. See, I'd be happy enough just reading about the ending, you know, instead of 10 hours of watching or whatever.
What else have you been looking at this week, Shannon?
So you've probably seen the video of the wee Irish granny and her granddaughter eating ice cream. And I don't know, have you ever been in a similar situation yourself?
Yeah, my mum, my mum's one of those that'd be chatting away to everybody, and then all of a sudden I would ask her, "Who's that you're chatting?" And she says, "No idea." But there was this funny story one time. We were at a funeral, actually, and this man came along and said hello and whatever. And my mum, I knew by her that she didn't know who he was. And then he actually asked her, "Do you know who I am?" She's like, "Of course I do." And she had to admit, like, he pushed her that far. She had to admit, "I just can't place your face."
Whenever I go back to Garda Hark, where mum's from, it happened a few times where people be like, "Oh, hello, Roisin, Kajimar Tethu." And I just don't feel like I can correct people. So I go, "Oh, hello." Maybe I should. Maybe I shouldn't pretend I'm my mum. I don't know.
Yeah, I know. But I do get that all. Not they don't call me my mum, but they like say, "You look so like your mum." That's a lovely compliment to your mum.
My mum is quite young and she looks quite young, so she's very lucky. Hopefully I get those genes.
So what else, Shannon, has been our topic of conversation? We have that many conversations.
So Be Perfect have actually launched a Saoirse Ruan and Mama collection. So all the funds are going to go towards two children's charities. So one of them is the Cancer Fund for Children and the other is the Hand in Hand Galway. And this collection actually only launched on Wednesday and it has sold out already on the website. I did a wee check this morning and they were hoping to raise €200,000 and they're at €127,000 already. So that's really nice.
Yeah, that is lovely. And I think, you know, Be Perfect does sell so well that it's nice that, you know, they do something good like this.
Yeah, exactly. And even the Saoirse's mammy, Rosanna, said it was such a great outlet for her and for her grief and kind of a nice memoriam for Saoirse. And there's a nice wee story as well. Whenever Saoirse was alive, she used to love lip gloss. It was always in her handbag. And now her wee sister goes and gets the lip gloss and she's like, "This is my Saoirse lip gloss."
Oh, that's lovely.
So,
yeah, it'll be such
really
a
nice.
It's such a memory for them to have it forever, effectively.
Yeah,
it's
exactly.
Really, really nice. Did we talk about the wedding in Venice?
See, I was following this. First, I feel like the attention has been taken away from Jeff Bezos and Lauren Sanchez. So the first story was the questioning of Katy Perry and Orlando Bloom's relationship. So that was in the wires last week. It's been confirmed today they are not together anymore. But one of the signs was
Shannon.
That, yeah, breaking news. You heard it here in Highland. But Orlando was going to attend the wedding by himself.
Okay.
So that's where the rumours kind of came from. And then what else did I see?
So the Kardashians seem to actually take over that wedding.
Upstage.
There's a photo now on our screen and it's Kim and Kylie. Like, they are flawless in fairness. But
what I was seeing after the wedding as well was actually all about Kylie Jenner. So I don't know, is that the same picture? But she was wearing a light blue dress.
Yeah.
And people were trying to say, "Oh my goodness, is this a blue dress? Is this a white dress?"
Yes.
But I think it's blue. What do you think?
It's nearly virgin on silver, actually.
Yeah.
But I was at a wedding recently and my friend actually said to me, "Oh, that girl's wearing white." I don't think it was white, but it's such a hot topic now that you just wear, and I'm really not a colour person. I'm so beige with what I wear that I struggle then going to a wedding because I feel like I need to put such an emphasis on a coloured dress.
I remember even reading an article a while ago of how you shouldn't wear red to a wedding. It's currently upstaging the bride again.
And you're not meant to wear black?
An attentive colour. So, I don't know, what's the winner here? Like, do we go by season? If it's springtime, wear yellow.
Yeah.
Summer, wear pink. But even I remember my uncle got married, however long ago it was, and the bridesmaid dresses were the same colour as the dress I had worn.
See, that's
so
the fear
I
then,
looked
too.
Like I was part of the bridal party, but I wasn't.
And they always say that the invitation will give a clue as to what the colour of the bridesmaid dresses are. But I don't know. When I was getting married, I didn't think I need to pick this colour of invite based on the bridesmaid dresses. So I don't know. It's hard to follow that then because they could be any colour.
They could be any colour. Like, and do you want to keep it a secret? Like, I don't know. It's just all very stressful. But what I like about bridesmaid dresses these days is they might go with one colour and different styles so that it suits
yes,
everybody.
Nice. Yeah. Any final thing you want to talk to us about? Finish on a good one.
I don't know. The one that I was going to say wasn't so good, but sure, I'll throw it in there anyway. Did you see the one of the proposal at Zach Bryan and she ended up saying no?
I didn't see the video, no.
Oh, dear. And then part of me is wondering, is that clickbait? Is
right.
it not?
Do you think?
I don't know. Would you say yes if you got proposed to at a festival?
No.
Is it romantic?
It's well, I'm not big into, says me sitting here on the radio, I'm not big into people looking at me. Whenever I was getting engaged, it was in a park in Edinburgh, and I was literally sitting on a park bench and Lee went to propose. I was like, oh my God, not here. So I'm like, we walked round the park to find a spot that was really
so
secluded.
He was about to do it and you went, no, I'll stop you right there.
I couldn't deal if anybody seen and said congratulations or started shouting. I was just like, no. So I don't know if I would say no at a Zach Bryan concert, but I would be like, yes, but get up quickly.
Yeah, maybe the initial shock of it, like shutting them down in public. But then when you get home, well, you might not make it home if you say no to someone. Do you know what I mean?
I know. But what would you, I don't want to put anybody under pressure, but would you say yes?
I think I would panic. I'd automatically go no and then I'd be like, oh, wait, no, I meant yes, sorry. Do you know?
Think about it.
Yes.
Well, Shannon, thank you so much for joining us. Our conversations have made it to air now.
Yeah, hope you've enjoyed and it wasn't too crazy.
I'm delighted to be joined in studio by Mark Black, the Festival Director for Letterkenny Blues and Roots Festival and the DVK Project. Good morning to you both.
Good morning.
I keep forgetting to put up people's microphones. This is not going well at all. So Mark, talk to me about the festival. It's now in its fifth year. There's people flying in from all over the world.
There is indeed. People flying in from all over the world. If we have enough accommodation and Letterkenny to cope with them all. It's great. fifth year. We started back just before the kind of COVID lockdown in 2019. We had a little bit of break for a few years. But yeah, we've been running for 5 years now and it's getting great, bigger every year. So it's getting...
That's great because I'm sure whenever you had this idea, I suppose you don't know until you run it the first year to see how it goes. And then kind of the first year, you know, you can't really take that much away from it. You have to keep going. And that's great to see it building now.
It is. The first couple of years are kind of tough to get off the ground. We had I was hired in by a few people who had the idea at the beginning, and we had a nice little committee going at the beginning with and including an old friend of ours, Dermot Donoghue, who sadly passed away a few years ago, who was on the committee. But everybody's really receptive. All the venue owners and stuff are really excited about it, to have it going. And every year comes around, they're always really excited about the weekend. There's a lot of music on and a lot of events. And I have to say, on behalf of, you know, the committee and all the people running the festival, thanks to all the venue owners for taking such a good chance on it and putting on such a great amount of music over the weekend. It makes for a great atmosphere.
Yeah, absolutely. And Davey, you'll be busy this weekend, no doubt.
I am, yes. Four in total, I think, Mark, wasn't it? A solo and three with the band as well. So it's great. It's a great buzz around the town. It's fantastic. I can't believe it's 5 years.
5 years, yeah. We had a couple of breaks there.
That's true, but you can see it getting bigger every year.
That's brilliant.
You definitely can.
Yeah.
And the people coming into town, brilliant.
Yeah, and it's great, and we're very lucky to have, you know, artists like Davey that are kind of claim him as local. He's local enough, he's just over there. He's not that far away, but we're great to have such a great talent of local artists as well as people coming in from like the UK, and we have bands from Canada coming in this year and France and stuff like that.
Amazing. Davey, you're going to give us a wee taste of what's to come, so maybe we'll get one now, will we?
That's all right, no problem at all. I'll give you a few verses. I was wondering what song I was going to do, but I'll give you a few verses on one of my own songs and we'll take it from there.
Perfect.
That's okay. All right. Well, this here is my hometown. Everybody here knows my name. I've been gone a little while, but now I'm back home again. Well, I lost some good friends and I made quite a few along the way. And it don't bother me, I'll still live to face another day. Keep on walking the road you chose. Don't stop to look behind. You're only as strong as your heart is. People can be cruel sometimes. Things don't come from these people. They come from deep within. It's funny how you get there. Funny how you get there in the end. It's funny how you get there. funny how you get there in the end. Everybody's got the problems. No one in this world is trouble-free. Take it with a pinch of salt. Heck, that's just my philosophy. No matter how bad things seem, you'll find that you've always got a friend. When things are at the darkest, you know you'll make it in the end. Keep on walking the road you chose. Don't stop to look behind. You're only as strong as your heart is. People can be cruel sometimes. Dreams don't come from these people. They come from deep within. It's funny how you get there. Funny how you get there in the end. It's funny how you get there. Funny how you get there in the end. It's funny how you get there. Funny how you get there in the end.
That was brilliant.
Woo!
So good. That's actually a lovely song.
Oh, thank you very much.
Yeah,
thank you.
And I'm
very... Oh, that's ancient. I wrote that song years ago.
It's lovely. But I'm very much, you know, whatever's meant for you. And that's kind of it. Even if you're going through, well, that's what I got from the song, going through something tough, that you'll get there in the
end.
You'll
get there, and that's exactly
that was a lovely
what
song.
Meant to come across as. Thank you.
Yeah, well, you've made
thanks
here some...
Thanks for noticing that. Thank you.
Signed up now. So, Mark, back to yourself. Some of the artists, we have local artists. You know, we have Davey, we have Maria McCormick. There's loads of local talent as well. But there's a treat then for everybody to see these international artists as well.
There is, yeah. And as I say, the program's kind of packed full, Michaela. So, yes, it's. I think with every festival, it's good to kind of make sure that you highlight all the real local talent you have, you know. And the names coming from outside of the county and outside are great. They're great for the festival. They make it look really good, and they bring a lot of excitement to it, you know, for people to see that they haven't seen before. But we have a huge wealth of and a huge pool of local talent. It's fantastic. And like the events start all day. There's some stuff out on the main street for people to see on Saturday, starting from like 12 o'clock, and it runs all through the afternoon. Hopefully the rain will keep away a little bit, but most of it's kind of undercover anyway, or some of it's kind of undercover, so you'll not, even if you have an umbrella, you'll be all right.
Yeah, you'll be okay. You will, absolutely. Yeah. It stops at your skin. Everybody tells me when I'm like, it's raining outside.
It stops at your skin. I haven't heard that one before. Very good, yeah.
But yeah, even the just looking at the programme here, you know, it has the map, so it shows... You know, everything's within walking distance. Somebody goes to one spot, there might be somebody somewhere else. It's only a couple of minutes walk.
Yeah, that's it. And the way the festival's normally scheduled is like, you can see a little bit of everybody if you spend some time, and you can check out the different... And you should be able to walk to most places, all right? There's not, you know, within a few minutes, it's not, you can skip between venues and catch as much on as possible. It's a kind of a packed enough program. We have over 70 gigs on over the weekend,
yeah.
So there's a lot of stuff on. And if you miss a band in one particular place, you may catch them later on the next day, or you may catch them later in the evening. They may be doing a couple of gigs in the daytime type thing. So
yeah, and Davey, I suppose as a performer yourself, is there a great atmosphere then? You know, all these artists coming together.
It is, because for a few reasons, the town is filled with people. For the music lovers in general, they just love being there, listening to music. They've got the gig guide. I'm just looking there, Mark. It's a great way where they can plan out their day. They can go here, and then they can know they'll go somewhere else. Great buzz, great atmosphere, and personally speaking, it's a great time to meet other musicians. Because you know yourself, Mark, that's the only time we get to see other musicians.
Is
at a festival where you haven't seen another musician for a long time, and you can catch up, because... So it's good. It's a great buzz. It's really, really good. Really good.
And it's a great way, I suppose, to introduce people to this style of music. You know, they might think, oh, blues isn't for me. But when you actually hear it, it's a great sound.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's like blues and roots and kind of blues and jazz and blues is a great brand for a music festival that has like lots of activities on all day long. You know, I mean, it's to a certain extent, it's kind of child friendly up to a certain point of the evening, so people can bring their families along, or they can bring the kids in, check out some of the music. And there's lots of different styles of music. We have, this year we've got like, you know, we've got folk music, traditional music, lots of blues. We have a ska band on, you know, it's even heavier on the rock side, stuff like that. We have singer-songwriter sessions on. So it's like, you know, there's a great mix of everything, you know, bits of, you know, lovely jazz gigs, that type of thing. And as I say, even like people do a lot of their own music, like singer-songwriter style stuff as well, too.
Yeah. Brilliant. And some of those that you can listen to over the weekend, we have the Whiskey Flyers, Lot 49, the Johnny Max Blues Band, Mr. Castle Band, Niamh Strong Band. We have the DVK Project, which you heard from. We have Jack McHale and Banshee, and there's so much more. So, Mark, where can people get more information on this?
So if you go to our Facebook or Instagram, which is Letterkenny Blues and Roots Festival, and you get also, as I say, do your best to save the planet. Download the program from that rather than there are programs and there are posters available in most of the venues. But I mean, take a picture of it, keep it on your phone, and you know, and go online to the Facebook or the Instagram page, Letterkenny Blues and Roots Festival. And as I say, take a picture of the program and keep it on your phone, and as I say, save the planet and be green.
Yeah, it is really jam packed. So well done on getting that lineup. It is brilliant. Davey, you're going to sing us out with one, aren't you?
Another one, okay.
No pressure.
Yeah, but
I'm trying to save the voice, but I'll do one more. No, that's okay.
There's another one, Dave.
I'll do a wee quick bluesy one for you, sir.
Ooh, baby, I declare you sure look fine. Ooh, baby, I declare you sure look fine. Well, a girl like you can make this crazy fool just lose his mind. Let me love you, baby. Let me love you, baby. Let me love you, little doll. Let me love you, baby. Let me love you, baby. Did you prove love drives you crazy? Well, now, baby, when you walk, you shift just like a willow and tree. Baby, when you walk, you know you see just like a willow tree. Well, a girl like you can make a crazy fool out of me. Let me love you, baby. Let me love you, baby. Let me love you, little dog. Let me love you, baby. Let me love you, baby, till your good love drives you crazy.
Brilliant.
Yeah.
Great. Thank you so much for calling up, both of you, and good luck with the weekend. It's no doubt going to be a brilliant event. So we'll be back just after this short break. You're welcome back to the 9 till noon show. Congratulations to Mary Creerand and KG Remelton. You are the winner of our two tickets to the big Highland Radio Summer Bingo Party today. And the answer to that question, the question was, what's the bingo call for number 22? And the answer was Too Little Ducks. I wouldn't have known that off the top of my head, so fair play to you. That is Mary Creerand of KG Remelton. You are today's winner, and you'll also then be put into the draw, which is happening a little later, for the overnight stay as well on the evening in Jackson's Hotel. Some of your comments now. The person who said Kerrygold butter is €4 in some stores are living in dreamland. £1 of Kerrygold butter today in Supervalue and Lidl is £5.50. Another listener says Alton Galvin is bursting at the seams. Dairy people have long waiting lists. Yet, as we were talking earlier about healthcare, and somebody had mentioned, do we need to look at the cross-border element a bit more? But yeah, hospitals on both sides of the border are struggling to meet the demand at the moment. In Ireland, if you're a middle earner or self-employed, you're the poorest member of society. No help getting housing or accommodation. Computers that say no because you can't provide adequate information when self-employed, and a government that is squeezing every bit of tax out of this group to pay for the ones who won't work and the benefit tourists. And they benefit tourists we now have in this country. The hardworking Irish people are now seen as a cash cow for a greedy, out-of-touch government who are under the thumb of Ursula and Co. The EU has done Ireland far more harm than the British ever did when we were under British rule. We have no fishing and no farming. We should be going independent. Those who died for the freedom of Ireland would be turning in their graves. The EU have ruined this country, according to that listener. Another says Irish government discrimination against their own people while Ukrainians, they say, get free education. It's the overall living cost of accommodation, food, transport that is impacting the total cost of college for families. We were discussing earlier this €1,000 hike in student fees, and the government had promised that they were actually going to reduce student fees, but they're now facing the €1,000 hike. They were originally €3,000, then the government, as a cost of living measure, cut them by €1,000, but that's now being reinstated. And this listener saying when you take the cost of accommodation, food, transport into account, it's a huge financial burden. If you're sending someone to college, if you're going to support them, or indeed if they're paying their own way, it's a huge undertaking. College education should be free as opposed to a business, is the view of another listener. And write policy on the back of a matchbox, it shall come back to bite you. Donegal shall get a hub or major protest regardless of the lack of voting. People really need to ask questions. Take a look at the real lack of policy cost us our real. Some of the same people are now sitting around the table to rectify it. Wasting your time voting our local politicians. They are all in it for themselves and not the greater good of Donegal. With our services, another listener says, so depleted, why are we still receiving the most immigrants while we cannot cope with our own population? Just want to mention there is a jumble sale in aid of TJ's Wish to Walk. That's taking place the 5th and 6th of July. That is tomorrow and Sunday. Doors open at 12 at St Patrick's Hall, Drumkeen. Tea, coffee and refreshments will be available on the day. So that is a jumble sale in aid of TJ's Wish to Walk tomorrow and Sunday at St Patrick's Hall in Drumkeen. I'm joined now on the show by John Joe McGinley, who is the founder of AutismDad.ie. Good morning to you, John Joe.
Good morning, Michaela, and good morning to all your listeners, and thank you for having me on.
Not at all. It's actually such an important issue, this. So you've been discussing when an autistic child turns 18, the challenges for parents and the child. So from a parent yourself, what does that look like for you?
Well, see, it is an important time because this is a time when a lot of our children on the autism spectrum and then children with additional needs are leaving school, and it then becomes a major cliff edge for them. You know, when our children are 18, you know, a lot of them are still emotionally children, and they're so used to having the support that's given to them from people like the Child Disability Network teams, and also, especially with autism, there's a lot of anxiety, so they get the support from CAMHS, the Child Mental Health Service. But when that child turns 18, society in Ireland at the moment flips a switch. They're expected to make adult decisions, manage their appointments, sign legal forms, and be responsible for their future. But the most importantly, all that support that they've had throughout their developmental years is now switched off, and they have to go into the minefield, which is the public health service. And as we know, there are so many challenges there. Mm. And whilst a lot of children are leaving school, a lot of children with autism and additional needs stay on to 18, 19. And so that whilst they're still at school, that support that they were so used to out with the school environment is now taken away. And that's going to have a lot of challenges for children and for parents. One of the key things for those that do leave school is going to be that loneliness and isolation. For many, the school has become their support network. It's where their friends are. It's where they feel comfortable. It's where they feel less anxious. And as that relationship ends, then they have to make their way into the world. There's also, again, sadly, despite so many campaigns to raise autism awareness and autism acceptance, there are a lot of obstacles and barriers still in the employment system that deny our children on the autism spectrum probably a fair chance at employment. And again,
that main thing that you would fear once your child turns 18? Is it the support, or is it them going out into the community? But obviously they come actually hand in hand, because you know, that support isn't there for them in the community?
I think there's two key things. The first one exactly is the reduction in the support. Now, I know the support is limited in the child development network teams, but it has still been very useful for both my children and for many parents. And as we go into the cliff edge of the public health service, that has so many challenges that we're all well aware of, and the waiting lists are phenomenal. But not only that, after years of navigating, which is a complex system in Ireland for child support, you're now going to have to navigate an even more complex support for adult services. Now, a lot of parents aren't aware of what the services are, and that's why it's fundamentally important that if any parent has a child who's approaching 18, that they sit down with the Child Disability Network teams and all the current care providers to get a transition report produced for them, which not only identifies the key needs of their child, but can also signpost them to the areas that they can actually seek support in the future. But another thing,
do you think this would be helpful then if they are going into employment, if they have this and they can show that, where you mentioned there, the needs that are identified? Do you think that would be helpful for employers as well?
Vitally important for employers. But a key thing that parents also have to be aware of as well, when our child turns 18, they're looked upon as, and they are considered legally as adults. A lot of children with additional needs, and especially autism, it's the parents that drive taking the child to that support. It's about, yes, I know there's something not up with you, I'm going to go and get the support for you, the anxiety is rising, I want to try and get an appointment for you. Mm-hmm. When somebody turns 18, if they don't want an appointment, there is no legal way that you can force in the moment your child to do that. So that's why it's fundamentally important as well for parents to sit down and think about how they're going to make or help their child make those medical, educational or financial decisions. You know, it might even be as so much as to actually sit down with a solicitor and talk about gardenership or other alternatives. Because
so that gardenership, sorry for interrupting you, John Joe, but that guardianship, does
what
that...
say.
So that means that if your child then was on under, say, your guardianship, that you then have the responsibility to intervene in medical and financial situations, is that correct?
Yes, but and that becomes fundamentally important because you know yourself, a lot of people, they can't recognise their own, could be anxiety issues or a slight decline. We're their parents. We've been looking after these children for 18 years.
Yeah.
We can see the red flags that are raised. We can identify when we can get that early intervention before those red flags increase into something more serious. And again, that's why it's important. You know, if somebody refuses and you don't have that legal right to actually make them mm-hmm. and attend that appointment, and that's a lot of worry for parents when it comes to that 18-year-old cliff edge. So what I've tried to do in autismdad.ie, the website that I've put together, is I've put together a blog, and I've also been using Facebook, Autism Dad Ireland, and Twitter, AutismDad67, to try and put together the key issues that children face when they get that cliff edge of moving from adolescence into adulthood. Also, the key issues that parents have to be aware of as well, because we have to realise that they do want to make their own way in the world, and sometimes it's difficult because we've been so used to looking after them for so long and worrying about them that we do have to give them the chance to develop in educational and social situations to make their own path in the world, and also to try and identify the key steps that people can take. You know, try to create a plan with your child. If you have to sit down with a solicitor, do it now. But most importantly, the key thing has to be is to sit down with all the people that are interacting with your child at the moment, be it the CDNT, be it CAMHS, be it occupational therapy, anybody that's providing any support and get that transitional plan written down in paper that you've got, that you can take to the public health system, where you're trying to get the support you require for your child as they move into adulthood. Because let's face it, you know, when our child is just before they're 18, they still have the same needs, be it dietary, be it anxiety.
It doesn't just change on that birthday.
It doesn't change on that birthday, but the thing that does change on that birthday is the support that they've been so used to for so long is taken away, and they're put into the wider system, which we all know has so many severe challenges, that and also which becomes a minefield of new learning for both parents and children.
And one of those items that you identified in your blog relating to parents and what they need to consider when their child's turning 18 is this balancing of independence and safety. And that's what we've been touching on. But it is, given that child, you know, they look, I'm sure, like any child towards 18. And, you know, people when they turn 18, they have this independence. So it is giving that them that experience as well. But it's just balancing the two.
It's balancing the two and making sure that you, sometimes it becomes a light touch. You have to let them spread their wings, but you have to be aware of any new support mechanisms that are there if any issues develop. You know, there's places like Jigsaw and Letterkenny that offer fantastic resources for young adolescents and young people, but a lot of parents aren't aware of these resources. So yes, we want them to develop as much as we possibly can, be it through education, be it through employment, and especially through social settings. But it's important for parents to be aware of what are the new resources that are available to try and help their children if there are any issues. You know, and they could be as simple as dietary to more complex as anxiety and mental health issues. You know, if you're used to dealing with CAMHS, that's fantastic, but now that resource is taken away. Mm-hmm. So you have to make sure before they're 18, what would be the alternative to the resources that you currently use if there are any issues with your child in the future.
And what do you think could be done by, say, the HSC, by, you know, the service CAMHS, and, you know, even policies by the government that could help this transition?
I think the most important thing is twofold. Firstly, if a child is still in school, you know, and a lot of our children are going to be in the fifth and sixth year beyond 18, they should be still looked after by the child support systems because they're used to dealing with the educational setting. I know a lot of this, the resources actually happen in the school, so I don't think there'd be any real reason why that should be taken away. But then the wider issue is once they become into adulthood is there has to be more resources put in Ireland towards mental health services. You go out throughout the country, be it from under 18 or over 18, it's a maze and it's an under-supported maze. It's fundamentally important that for a society that claims to have so much wealth, you know, and so much corporation tax coming in, they announced that 2 days ago, that we actually look after the most vulnerable in our society. And that's where mental health needs to be given a greater focus in Ireland at the moment, because it's currently the situation is such that the resources are nowhere near where it's required to support not only our children as they go over 18, but adults of any age in the future.
Yeah. And do you think, John Joe, that society is evolving enough for people who have autism going out into that world post 18?
I think it's improved a lot, and I think there's so many wonderful organisations out there that are promoting not only, I hate the word autism awareness, but it's more about autism acceptance and inclusion, but there's a lot more to be done. And I think it's vitally important that the lip service, there's far too much lip service in government towards support. You have things like like for instance, the carer support limits have been increased. But to balance that, what's happening is that carers are now under more reviews than ever before, mm-hmm. and these are the people that are saving the state billions, not millions, but billions. So on one hand, they say they're trying to improve the carer system, but on the second hand, they are hounding carers for every single euro that they've managed to save. And also, there has to be a greater focus at Cabinet, not only on mental health, but on the wider health scenario to ensure that as our children transition, the support services are there. Because sadly, what's happening is they're just going into a black hole, a maze of under-resourced, under-supported mental health services.
And a listener has actually just called in to say that they have a 16-year-old autistic son. She calls him her forever baby. He has the mentality of a 45-year-old. She has to do everything for him. And there's so many differing levels of children who have autism that it is really an individual basis, and a case-by-case approach needs to be taken to this.
Oh, yes. And look, and I can identify there, because there's a wonderful phrase that is so true, that if you've met one child with autism, you've met one child with autism, because the spectrum is so wide. Mm. And that's why it's so fundamentally important, and I've said in my blog, that parents, even if they're under 18, regardless, you have to have a plan of support. That's where you identify the key needs of your child, the key resources that child needs. Now, you'll probably have to fight tooth and nail, and it won't be easy, but you have to do it to get that support, because the support is very, very limited. When the support comes, it's fabulous, because the practitioners are excellent, but there's not enough of them. And that's why, as well, when it comes to the child going to 18, you need to sit down with every one of those practitioners, be it the dietitian, be it the occupational therapist, the school, the Child Disability Network team, and CAMHS, or anybody else who's involved in the care of that child, to make sure that a transition plan has been produced. That transition plan then becomes your template for the parent to once again, sadly, start the fight to get the resources for their child. Because one thing you learn as a parent with a child on the autism spectrum is you never stop fighting. Because every single day you're fighting for your child, be it regardless of how old they are. Because sadly, if we don't fight for them, nobody else will.
Yeah. John Joe McGinley, founder of AutismDad.ie. It's a very important conversation. Thank you so much for joining me this morning. And if you need any more information, John Joe has a great blog on AutismDad.ie where you can find out more information. And we'll be back again shortly. We announced earlier that Mary Creeran from Kedgeree is the winner of today's two tickets to the big Highland Summer Bingo Party, and she was then put into the draw with our previous winners this week to win two tickets, as well, they've already won the two tickets, but to also win an overnight stay with B&B in Jackson's Hotel on the night of the Summer Bingo Party. So congratulations to Tom McMenamin, you are our overall winner, you won on Tuesday, so congratulations, you have the two tickets plus an overnight stay and B&B in Jackson's Hotel on the night. That's where we have to leave it on the 9 till noon show this morning. Thanks so much to Carling Orr and Shannon Wilkin for all their help this week. John Breslin is up next. He will be broadcasting live on Around the Northwest from Watson Hire in Letterkenny as part of their 20th anniversary celebrations. You can call in for live demos, discounts, a barbecue, and the Anglo-Celt Cup will also be there to take photos with. So anniversary celebrations will be continuing there until 6 o'clock this evening. That's all for now. Good morning.